Jeffrey Epstein's death in a Manhattan jail on Saturday has sparked a federal probe and calls to continue the investigation into his alleged crimes.
Well, I believe that a number of the women are still going to prosecute their claims.
And GM and Volkswagen say goodbye to hybrid vehicles.
So it's kind of unusual when you see, you know, two of the biggest car companies in the world go down one path and some of the other biggest, they're expanding their hybrid lineup.
Plus, Hong Kong cancels flights after thousands of protesters fill the city's airport. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a look at why General Motors and Volkswagen say they see no future for hybrid cars, here's what you missed. Jeffrey Epstein died in an apparent suicide in a Manhattan jail on Saturday morning. He'd been accused of sex trafficking minors, charges which he'd denied. Although earlier in July, he'd been found in his jail cell with bruises around his neck. In recent weeks, Mr. Epstein had been taken off suicide watch at the request of his attorneys. He'd been downgraded to, quote, special observation status. That meant guards had to check on him every 30 minutes and also required him to have a cellmate. That's according to people familiar with the matter. Yet, in the hours leading up to his death, it appears he had no cellmate and wasn't receiving the required checks. Spencer Coovin, an attorney representing some of Mr. Epstein's accusers, said his clients were shocked at Mr. Epstein's death.
I believe that a number of the women are still going to prosecute their claims, not only against Mr. Epstein, but against the people that assisted him in this process. There are a number of co-conspirators that allowed these things to occur, active co-conspirators as well as passive, that watched what he was doing and said nothing over the years. So our hope is that the federal authorities go after them as well and continue this investigation even after his death.
We report that the FBI and Justice Department have both devoted additional manpower to investigating the circumstances of Mr. Epstein's death. And Saudi Arabia's state oil company, Aramco, has just released its earnings. The world's top oil producer reported first-half net income of $46.9 billion. That's a decline from the same period in 2018 when the company made $53 billion. Just for comparison, Apple made $31.5 billion in its first 6 months of its financial year. The earnings come a few days after we reported that Aramco's plans to list its shares publicly in what's expected to be the biggest ever IPO are now back on. We reported that the listing could come as soon as next year. And that was the scene in Hong Kong's airport today, where thousands of demonstrators were gathered to protest the government's handling of this summer's protests. By Monday afternoon in Hong Kong, authorities said they'd canceled more than 100 flights. Hong Kong is one of the world's busiest airports. Now, our main story this morning. If you live in San Francisco, chances are you've gotten used to being surrounded by Toyota Priuses everywhere you go. But two of Toyota's rivals, General Motors and Volkswagen, now say that they see no future for hybrid cars. To find out more, Charlie Turner has been speaking to our reporter, Mike Colias.
Mike, a couple of automakers are essentially saying there's no future in hybrid vehicles, which combine a gas engine with an electric motor. Which companies are we talking about?
Yeah, General Motors and Volkswagen, not coincidentally, they've probably been the two that are most aggressive about pushing into fully battery electric cars. But both of them have tried hybrids in the past. GM has tried it many times and still sells hybrids. And so it's kind of unusual when you see, you know, two of the biggest car companies in the world go down one path and some of the other biggest, not only continuing to offer hybrids, Toyota and Ford, but they're expanding their hybrid lineup in the U.S. They feel like it's an important technology to have as sort of an in-between going from gas engines to fully electric.
What's the reasoning behind what GM and VW are doing as far as forsaking hybrids?
Well, I think there's a couple things. One, I think they think that they're too expensive. There's more investment that goes into the car. They're more difficult and complicated to build. And they just feel like, you know, listen, if we think that the future is electric, with which both companies have said, we feel like this is just sort of a getting in the way of the ultimate solution. There's also one common denominator with the two of them. They're number one and two in sales in China. And China is requiring zero emission cars. You're going to have those in order to sell in China. And so, you know, that's really important for them to maintain sales there and a big presence there. And that's why they're going to need these electric vehicles there anyway. So they're going to populate them across their lineups in other countries, too.
There are also tougher emission standards in Europe, aren't there?
That's right. Those are the two regions that car companies are really going to struggle with. I mean, Europe has some of the most stringent CO2 regulations in the world in terms of, you know, the car companies are going to have electric offerings there in order to meet the regulations. Hybrids will help, but GM and Volkswagen, for their part, feel like they're going to get more bang for their buck by investing in electric vehicles there instead.
Yeah, and as you mentioned before, Mike, Toyota's pretty much sticking with its hybrid strategy. And why not when you have a winner, which is what the Prius is, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the Prius is, you know, it's really almost synonymous with hybrid. It came out in the late 90s and, you know, the early 2000s. It really took off as kind of a status symbol for environmentalists. And, you know, you see them all over places like New York and other places where taxi drivers really want to get the best fuel economy they can. And Toyota's really had a success in spreading that technology across their lineup. They actually sell more hybrid RAV4s, which is a small SUV, than they do Prius anymore because of the shift to SUVs. And they feel like they can continue with that strategy and spread hybrids across more of their nameplates.
Well, whether it's a hybrid or electric, they're a lot more expensive to make than regular gasoline engines. That's one thing. And the other thing is they both account for a very small portion of overall sales.
That's right. They're costly to make, and that leads to a higher price tag, which I think is why you see hybrids are only about 3% of the market and electrics are only 1%. Now, everybody expects those numbers to grow, but the question is by how much? And the risk, you know, there's risk in both these strategies. The risk for just going electric like GM and Volkswagen are doing is, you know, nobody really knows how quickly those are going to take off. And if you don't have sort of a go-between technology, you might have a trouble meeting some of the regulations in places like China and Europe. But on the other hand, can you afford, you know, Toyota and Ford aren't saying that they're not doing, they're still investing in electric vehicles. So now they're investing in both hybrids and electrics, and some people question whether or not they'll be able to do that affordably.
Wall Street Journal reporter Mike Colias, thanks a lot, Mike.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
You can find Mike's article up on WSJ.com. On to markets. Here's a question for you. What are investors to do if bond yields turn negative in the world's biggest economy? That once unthinkable situation is now something that some investors are taking seriously after last week's slide in the bond markets. Our markets reporter Steve Russolillo breaks it down.
So we're talking about a scenario where bond yields can actually go into negative territory. And it's something that we've seen happen around the world here for the past few years. But it's a phenomenon that we really just never really thought could actually happen in the U.S., especially when rates started to rise, when the Fed was increasing interest rates. But now you have a scenario where a lot of investors are starting to consider a scenario where this could actually take place. So if we think about the 10-year Treasury note, which is sort of the benchmark yield that is used to set everything from mortgage rates to other different types of rate instruments, the 10-year yield is now at around 1.7%. And it's pretty close to its record low of 1.3%. And if you think about it, that's not very far from getting to zero and perhaps even below that, which is a scenario that you see in places like Germany and other places in Europe that have negative yields right now. So negative bond yields were something that, you know, no one really considered would ever happen in the U.S. Now there's a scenario where it could actually happen.
And now the SCED. Here's what else we're paying attention to today. When you think of California, chances are one of the things that comes to mind is Silicon Valley. But now the state, which was once a champion of the tech industry, is emerging as its greatest foe. The state legislature is back in session today, and it will consider a bill that, if passed, could classify drivers for ride-hailing companies like Uber and Lyft as employees. That would entitle those drivers to better wages and benefits. We report that that bill, along with state laws pending or passed on issues ranging from privacy to net neutrality, could substantially reshape companies across the tech sector. And what do you think is one of the best performing investments in the world right now? If you guessed carbon emission credits, well, congratulations. From London, David Hadari explains.
So essentially, a carbon credit is a contract which is either given to or sold to a big polluter by the European Union that says you are allowed to emit 1 ton of carbon dioxide. And for years after the financial crisis, when emissions fell, there was a surplus of credits floating around in the system. Prices languished below 10 euros per ton of carbon dioxide released for about 5 years. So the EU saw the system wasn't working, and lawmakers got together a couple of years ago and decided that they were going to start reducing the number of credits on the system by 24% each year from 2019.
And that 2019 rule change has really transformed the market. Here's David again.
This shrinking in supply has made it increasingly, and some might say prohibitively, expensive for big companies to pollute. And because of that, carbon credits have become one of the most valuable assets money can buy, if you look at it over the last few months. And carbon credits have drawn long-lost investors who cancelled their positions years ago when prices plummeted. Speculators are interested once again. The same polluters who have always been interested are still there. But now there's this new wave of investors starting to invest in carbon credits as their very own commodity.
Finally, if you're best friends with your boss, well, it turns out that might cost you. New research in the Journal of Experimental Social Psychology has found that when managers are handing out bonuses, they want to make sure they don't appear biased. That means that in order to do that, they sometimes pass over their friends in favor of other workers. One way to try and mitigate against this, make the criteria for awarding bonuses really clear. That way, favoritism allegations are more difficult to substantiate. That's what's news from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.